Well, it's hard to believe, but it was almost 30 years ago, in 1990, that NASA launched into space what would become known as the Hubble Telescope, the Space Telescope, a powerful telescope that would be able to take incredible pictures of God's creation more clearly than anything that had been seen before. It was truly a remarkable piece of engineering. But as great and as complex as the Hubble telescope was, it didn't go off without its problems. After much anticipation and excitement, the first images were rather blurry. There was a flaw in the mirror, and it was a terrible disappointment. And that and some other issues, it took NASA 5 subsequent visits via space shuttle to finally resolve the problems and have a clear image. The joke around NASA at the time was to never name a project that rhymed with trouble, because that's what it was, the Trouble Hubble. Well, for a while it was a huge embarrassment, but they got it solved. There's a saying that says you don't need to go looking for trouble, it will find you. And I think we know all about that. And that's kind of what I want us to look at this morning in the scripture. Part of Psalm 50 reveals something that we're all familiar with, and the whole psalm is wonderful, but I'm just going to read parts of it from verse 7 to 15. Psalm 50, verse 7 and on. And this is what it says. It says, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I do not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are ever before me. I have no need of a bull from your stall or goats from your pens. For every animal in the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine, and all that is in it. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Sacrifice a thank offering to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you and you will honor me." This morning, I'd like to zoom in a little bit on that verse 15 where it says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you and you will honor me." And the first thing I notice about this verse of scripture that I think we can all relate to, at least in some degree, is that the day of trouble is assumed. This isn't something that we particularly like, but the scripture doesn't say if the day of trouble comes. It assumes that there will be a day of trouble. And sometimes people like to think that, well, you know, if I follow God, if I read my Bible, if I pray every day, if I go to church, if I keep my nose clean, if I do all these things, I won't have any trouble. God is going to watch over me in such a way that everything is going to run smooth. If someone told you that, it might sound good, but it's not biblical. Jesus said the opposite. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. We don't need to go looking for it. It's simply a fact of life. It's a sad fact of life in a fallen, mixed up world. And while we are in this world, we will find trouble, or it will find us. In different forms, of course, but it will come. Something goes wrong. Something doesn't work out the way we expect it to. The news we get is not good. It could be an accident. could be a labor dispute. It could be illness. It could be misunderstandings. And our mind is stirred. We're troubled. We become uneasy about something. It absorbs us. It's very annoying, for sure. And to make it worse, we sometimes compare ourselves to others, and it looks like they're getting all the breaks. They're getting it easy, and so we wonder, well, why? Why me? But of course, the reality is that's not entirely true. Everyone has their trouble, and we should expect that. Peter, writing to the church in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, he says, "Friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come to you to test you as though something strange were happening to you." In other words, why are you so surprised? We don't like it, but there is a day of trouble. Sometimes many days. It might not be today for you, which is great, praise God. But it could be. And if it's not today, it will be someday. But here's the thing. Even in the day of trouble, God is interested in what is happening in your life. He does know, and he does care. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29, Jesus says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care." And the point of that, of course, is if God cares about the birds of the air, how much more will he care about you? The fact is, God is not out there beyond our reach, or we're not beyond his scope. He is not beyond the day-to-day happenings of our life. In Psalm 139, verses 7 to 12, great passage of scripture. "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." Even if we tried, we cannot get away from God's care and his watchfulness. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or nakedness or danger or sword?" And he goes on and he says, no. These things will not separate us. These things will not barrier us from God. God is there. God, he sees what is happening, and he is interested in what we are experiencing. Sometimes people will say, when they're going through a difficult time, "I just needed a listening ear." Well, God is that listening ear. He is listening. He is tuned in to you. His eye is on the sparrow. A sparrow. Two of them were a penny. You are made in the image of God. God breathed life into you. How much more is his eye upon you? The day of trouble is assumed sooner or later in one circumstance or another. Our responsibility, according to the psalmist and throughout scripture, is to call upon him on that day. It's very simple. Scripture says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, God isn't looking for a song and a dance. He isn't looking for sacrifices and elaborate ritual. He made it clear in the preceding verses that I don't need your sacrifices. I don't need to sacrifice cattle and goats and all that kind of stuff. It's not like I need that. He says, sacrifice a thank offering. Get your heart in check with me. God isn't looking for anything elaborate, a fancy formula. If I say it just right, if I do the right thing, if I go to the right place, if I kneel at the right time, if I don't know, whatever else. He says, call upon him. It's as simple as that. He isn't bothered by us. It's not like he's saying, oh, no, it's you again? Norm, didn't I deal with you last week? What is this? You coming to me again? He invites us again. Jesus said the same thing. You know it. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, ask and you will and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Again, no fancy tricks to get God's attention. It isn't complicated. Call upon me in a day of trouble. It's rather straightforward. Doesn't matter the time of day or night. Doesn't matter your particular circumstances or situation. Doesn't matter how severe or maybe it's not such a big deal it is. God's invitation is for us to call upon him. And God's promise is to deliver us. That's what it says in my Bible. I believe your Bible says the same thing. Verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor me. Now you might be thinking, wait a minute, Norm, wait a minute. I'm with you so far, but I'm not so sure about this. Yes, there are those times when we wonder, what's taking God so long? Right? Have you ever had those moments? God, you know, I've come, I've called, I've pleaded, I've prayed, and I'm waiting. How long do I need to wait? What's the deal here? Mary must have felt like that when Lazarus was dying. She virtually accused Jesus of taking too long. John chapter 11, verse 32, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. It's basically a nice way of saying, Lord, what took you so long? Even the psalmist had those times. Those times when he wondered where God was. Why wasn't God responding? You know, we like things to be orderly and organized, and we want to have it figured out, and we know that if I do this and this and this and this, then the result will be that. Oh, it'll be wonderful. That's the way we think. That's the way I think. And God says, you do this and this, call upon me, and I'll respond when I'm ready to, when it's the right time. Truth is, we want God to deliver us right away. I understand that. Believe me, I'm in the same boat. I would love that too. No one enjoys the day of trouble. But the point here is that God is not going to abandon you. He will not forsake you. He will not forget you. And in his time, he will deliver you. He will bring deliverance. Remember the Israelites in Egypt. They were slaves for some 400 years. Can you imagine that? 400 years. I'm sure many of them went to their graves thinking that God had forgotten them as a people. But he hadn't. And in his time, as you know the story, God did deliver them. And sometimes God delays his answer. I know that's not what we want, but that's the way it is. And he's God. And he makes the rules. But he's holy. And he's just. And he does what's right. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 reminds us that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. He gives us strength. Sometimes people have talked about some horrible situations in some other places and said, well, if that happened, how would you handle it? And I would think, I can't imagine how I would handle it. But if that time came, God would give me the strength to deal with it. So how do we respond? What do we do when the day of trouble comes? How do we respond? Well, some people will respond with logic. Kind of like Mr. Spock, you know, from Star Trek. Come up with the solutions. Very logical. I will solve my problem. I will figure out how to get from here to there. I will figure out how to get out of this mess. This is what I need to do. And we draw up plans. We make a plan, sort it out. And you know, there's a place for logic, for sure. God gives us a head to use it, and we need to use it. But logic alone won't solve our problems. There are others who respond with emotion. You know, they get angry, frustrated. Maybe they're afraid. Fear is a common response. Or if someone else was the cause of their troubles, they might be looking for revenge, a way to get even. Just so mad. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. We'll get them back. And when we respond emotionally to the day of trouble, we're not going to be satisfied. Now, I understand emotions are part of our lives, too. God gave us them. But we can't base our response to the day of trouble on either logic or emotion. We need to base our response to the day of trouble on principles. Principles that will hold us fast and steady through the storms of life. Principles like trust. Principles like integrity. Principles like humility. If I've done something wrong, I need to admit it. James chapter 4, verse 10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Principles of doing what is right, not necessarily what feels good or makes sense. Good example of principled response to the day of trouble is Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I encourage you, make a note of that, look it up, read the story sometime. Jehoshaphat, the king, gets news, a vast army is coming against you, verse 2. Greater than anything that they can possibly deal with. Talk about the day of trouble, not just for Jehoshaphat, but for his whole country, his whole nation, all the people. A vast army is coming against you. And what does Jehoshaphat do? He goes to the Lord in prayer. This is principle. We go to God. We trust. And he says, we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. He says, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. He's praying to God. This is beyond our scope of capability. We cannot deal with this. I cannot deal with this. I don't know what to do. There's humility again. But our eyes on you. There's the right focus. God will see me through. And then, verse 13, all the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones, I love how it includes the little ones there, stood before the Lord. Verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. And then Jehoshaphat, verse 21, appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness. They're basically having a worship service. They're just going to rejoice in God. And all of that took place before the Lord even delivered them. It wasn't like God rescued them and then they said, hey, let's praise God. Before the Lord even responded, they were appointing men to sing to the Lord, worship God in the splendor of his holiness, to give thanks to him. That's what verse 14 was about in Psalm 50. Sacrifice thank offerings to God. Worship him with thanksgiving. You know, sometimes somebody will thank me for something. I might have gone out of my way, done something. You've done the same thing. And I sometimes will say to people, not always, sometimes I will say to some people, it's really easy to be kind and generous to others who are kind and generous. You know, like basically it was no trouble doing something for you. Said, but, you know, if somebody's difficult, then it's more of a challenge. And it's easy for us to say thank the Lord and praise God when things are relatively smooth. But it's a different story when things are challenging. And that's what I see here in Jehoshaphat. That's the principle. Trust God. Praise God, honor God, even though we don't understand how it's going to work out. That's our response in the day of trouble. When we don't know what to do, when we don't have our answers, when we can't solve the problem, we need to stand by our principles. Trust, wait, believe. Humble ourselves. And in all things, we need to remember the promise of Isaiah chapter 41. And I'll close with this verse. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. The Lord says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, our Lord, we do come before you this morning. And Lord, I really don't know where we are as a people, Lord. I know in my own life right now, I thank you, Lord, things are fairly smooth, but there have been bumps in the past, and Lord, there may be some of your people here this morning who are going through a time of trouble, or maybe one of us will be in the near future, I don't know. But I do know that no matter who we are, no matter what our circumstances, that we serve a God who is able to hold us to carry us, to strengthen us, and who will in his time deliver us. And so, Father God, I pray that as we wait upon you, that we would wait with disciplined principle, trusting, doing what is right, not returning evil for evil, but humbling ourselves and leaving room for you to lift us up. Father God, we pray for your grace. All this is a whole lot easier said than done. I realize that. And I pray for your grace and your strength to enable us to be men and women, youth, and even children who respond in this manner. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.